If you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting in verse 30. Amen. I'll give you a few minutes. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, let Your words be heard this morning. Lord, just take away anything that's me and let it all be You. Lord, I praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. That's what Paul's talking about. And he's talking to the church. The Ephesian church was like the church. I mean, they were on fire. This church was an awesome church. I mean, they were a church that cast out devils. They were a church that healed people. They were a church that were out evangelizing in the community. I mean, they were on fire for God. But yet Paul says here, he's telling them, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, let's talk about this just a little bit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is not an it. It is a person. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity, right? Our triune Godhead. And it completes it, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it just completes everything. Without the three, we are incomplete. Remember that. Without the three, we are incomplete. Because it takes all three. Right? So when Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, what's he talking about here? What's he talking about? What's grieve mean? Grieve means to mourn. Grieve means sorrow. Grieve means to cause great distress. You ever been there? You've been in great distress? Anybody that has kids has been in great distress. Or have mourned, or have been sorry because of maybe something that their child has done, right? So we kind of understand what this means, you know. But Paul's saying, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not upset. Do not pain. Do not hurt. Wow. Let's look at Psalms 95. And I look at different translations. I'm reading out mostly the NIV this morning, but in the King James Version, I like how it reads... this scripture here in Psalms 95. It says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise." That is not exactly where I wanted to be. Psalms 95, starting in 10. Verna, skip to verse 10. It says, "For 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." That's the part I want to read. Let's read that again. 40 years long was I grieved now with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians kind of goes along with what's being said here. He said, you grieve me because you do not know my ways. And you're not following my ways. When you don't follow God's ways, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first thing, we're going to talk about four different things here about the Holy Spirit. And the first thing we're going to speak about is the Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Now, I talked last Sunday night about how, You know, I kind of had a Job moment there for a little bit, and I was, you know, thinking about, you know, here I am laying here. I can't work. I can't feed my family. I can't do what I need to do. Can't do what I want to do. How can I be productive? You know, and God spoke to me. Really did. God spoke to me. And it wasn't like what we hear on the movie. You know the movie Moses that we've all watched, you know, where God, Moses, you know, he talks like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that feeling that comes over you, and you get that, you just understand. Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what I'm talking about? He speaks to you. And let's look at Acts chapter 8. I got a lot. You know me, I like to use Scripture. That's what's important most of all, right? Scripture. Can't back it up by Scripture, you might as well not be up here speaking, right? I'm just telling the truth. Acts chapter 8. Let me get to the right place. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, I talked about Philip here a while back. Philip was a deacon. He was elected to be a deacon in the church. Okay? He wasn't an apostle. He was just a deacon. But when the church got scattered, he just went out and started preaching. And then the Holy Spirit, he listened. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, go do this. Okay? Now, also, Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. It says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. There's going to be times in your life when you're either going to think about erring in your way, when the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And there's going to be times in your life where you don't know what to say, when you're confronted by something, and the Holy Spirit's going to give you what to say. And He says, don't worry about that, because I'm going to tell you what to say. Man. Think about that. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. Is to speak for you. You know, we get worried. I was talking last night with somebody, and they were talking about somebody that they don't agree with. And there's always this conflict between how they're, what we believe. She's a Christian. And it's Lottie, and I don't want to, you know, use her, but I don't think she'll mind. But Lottie has a professor that she's, you know, got a class with, and she's always in conflict with this because he's always trying to tell her that she's wrong in how she believes. And I use that as an example because I've been there. I've got people that I'm around that sometimes are always trying to convince me how wrong I am about how I believe. And I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to tell me what to say. I can say what I want to. I can get mad, I can get angry, and I can say all kinds of words, but that's not what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, right? It's not about us. It's about being guided by the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what I'm talking about this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:7. See here. Now, to each one of you, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same, by one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He gives us these things too. I don't want to get off track. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Mark 13. Let's go to Mark 13. I know I'm skipping around here a lot, but like I said, I like to use verse 11, again, It says, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. One thing I read about this is, I think one thing we overlook sometimes is whenever you are arrested and brought to trial. We don't think of trials and tribulations. We don't think of being persecuted. We don't think of those things in our lives. We don't. Most of us have not experienced that. Now, I'm not talking about getting in trouble, doing something, you know, in the flesh or doing something that way. I'm talking about serving Christ and getting arrested because you're serving Christ. Come on now. There's people all over the world that are getting arrested because they're serving Christ for the sake of the cross. But yet here, it seems like in America, we seem to want to shelter ourselves from that. We do. We shelter ourselves from that. We want to stay away from that. But Jesus says, these things are going to happen to you if you're serving me. And that's, I've sent you the Holy Spirit to take care of you and speak for you and tell you what to say and what to do. The second thing is He prays for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Let me find it here. Where am I at? There it is. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Amen. He prays for you. You know, sometimes I don't know what to say. I may say something that's, you know, I don't know what to say. But He takes my words, He takes everything that I say, and maybe not really quite right, and He takes it straight to the throne and corrects it and makes it perfect and makes it so that the Father can understand it and know. Isn't that awesome? Because we're not perfect people. But the Holy Spirit makes what we say what perfect in front of God. Amen? I know there's times where people say, I'll pray for you. And I know they don't. I've been there. I've told people I'd pray for them and I forgot. And then they'll tell me, boy, your prayers worked. You helped me, man. I'm doing a whole lot better. Thanks for your prayers. And I'm the whole time I'm thinking, oh, I forgot. I really forgot to pray for them. But my heart was in the right place when I told them that. And I think, you know, right there immediately, the Holy Spirit just took control and said, okay, I'm just going to deliver that to the Father right now. I think that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Amen? Amen. First Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I love this right here. There's a lot to this right here, but I don't want you to be confused about what it says. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Remember that. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of inquiry say amen to you, thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are given thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And what he's saying, he's like, you know, God, the Holy Spirit speaks for you. It's not for anybody else, it's for you. Amen?
Amen.
When you go to God, it's not about what everybody else understands, because it's not about them, it's about what you're speaking to Him. It's personal. I love that part. I have a personal relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He speaks for me on a personal level. And it doesn't edify anybody else around me. It's for me. That makes me feel special. The third thing is He teaches us. He teaches us the ways of the Lord. The Holy Spirit teaches us the ways of the Lord. 1 John 2:27. Way back there in the back. It says, "As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught to you, remain in Him." It's not counterfeit. It's good teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches you what you need to know. You don't need to know it from anybody else, because if you're living in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, then you'll know His ways, because if the Spirit lives in you, then you'll be taught by the Holy Spirit what is good and what is not. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. That's what living in the Spirit is. It's not about what I say up here. It's about what the Holy Spirit says. It's about what this Bible says, the Scripture says. The Scripture reminds us of His ways, but the Holy Spirit is here to tell us His ways if we just listen. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 16. Let's go back up to 1 Corinthians. It says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by..." Now listen. "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." If you are living in the Spirit, if you have received the Holy Spirit into your life, then you have the mind of Christ. And you can walk in His ways. And the Holy Spirit helps perfect that. Because you remember in Ephesians 30 where I read that, it says you were sealed. Remember that? You were sealed. He sealed you. When you accept the Spirit, He seals you. He makes you perfect in the eyes of God. Amen? And you can go to the throne through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, confidently, because you've been accepted and sealed. Amen? I mean, y'all be shouting over that. I mean, where I'm at now. 1 Corinthians, let's see, John 14:26. "But the Advocate, I love that. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." I love that part because you know what? There's times in life, not everybody walks in the Spirit like they should all the time. And there's times in life where you get tempted. Something happens and you get tempted. We live in a world of we live in a messed up world. We really do. We do. We live in a messed up world. There's a lot of ungodly people in this world today. And they don't care about what you think and about what you believe. You know, men chasing women, women chasing men. I mean, I could go on with all kinds of things. But there's times that you may be tempted about something, but that's when the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You know what the Scripture says? It says, don't even look at another woman because, you committed adultery in your heart. See something that looks tempting to take? Holy Spirit speaks up and says, you remember? Thou shalt not steal. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Reminds you of those things. Convicts you of those things. Come on now. A lot of stuff goes on in this world today. There's a lot of people that go to church, and I fear this. There's a lot of people that go to church that don't have the Spirit in their life. They have a concept. They believe there's a God, but they don't accept the completeness of it. They don't live in the Spirit. They don't walk in the Spirit. And they have this idea that everybody's going to heaven, and it's just not true. And I'm sorry, I wished everybody was going to heaven. But it's just not true. Unless they've received Jesus Christ into their life, unless they've accepted the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, unless they've accepted the completeness of this, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to preach that wherever I go. And it's going to offend people. Not everybody's going to agree with that. But I'm living by the Spirit. I'm living by His Word. And He's going to tell me what to say and what to do. Although I may be persecuted at times, ridiculed, but that's what we have to do. Come on now. The fourth thing He does... I want to go back to Nehemiah. Go back in the Old Testament to Nehemiah. I want to forget this. Chapter 9, verse 20. This is what's said. You gave your good Spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. I love that part. He gives it to you freely. Come on now, He gives it to you freely. Amen. He calls it His good Spirit to instruct us, to tell us what to do, to guide us through life. Because I'm going to tell you, life's not easy, is it? It's not. There's good times in life. I've had some really good times in my life. But I've also had some pretty down times. Pretty struggling times in a lot of different ways, not just in my health. I've been pretty healthy most of my life. But I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life, and it's not always been easy for me. There's been times I've just like, I can't deal with this. But God is always, I grew up in church. I was raised in church. I wasn't always saved. I kind of had an idea, Seen a lot of things when I was a kid. There's times where I'd, in a church service when somebody, the Holy Spirit would come over them and you they'd stand up and start shouting. And I love those times, don't you? Of course, when I was a kid, sometimes I didn't understand it because I didn't understand it. I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me. I didn't understand. And it wasn't until I got saved and later when I got sanctified. Man, when I got sanctified, when I got the Holy Spirit just come over me, I'm telling you, then I understood. I knew what it was all about then. I know what it's like when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you just got to shout. I'm sorry, but you got to shout.
Amen.
You got to let it out. You can't contain it. You cannot contain it. That's just me. I'm sorry. I don't get all that excited. You know me. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, you cannot contain. You cannot contain that fire. The fourth thing is He guides you. He guides you everywhere you go. He directs your path. And let's look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I like this, what happens here. It says, "And now compelled by the Spirit." I love that, compelled. "I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However," Paul says, "however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He knew what was going to happen. Holy Spirit was telling him, if you go, you're going to go to prison. If you go, you're going to get beat up. If you go, these things are going to happen to you. But Paul says, "I know. I understand. Thanks for telling me ahead of time." Isn't that wonderful that the Holy Spirit can tell you what's going to happen ahead of time? It doesn't work with lottery. Sometimes I wish you knew what was going to happen in the future, but he warned Paul. He says, if you go, you know, these things are going to happen. Paul says, "I know. But I've got to do this because this is my race. This is what Christ told me to do. This is what the Scripture told us to do." It's not just Paul. It wasn't just Paul. Paul was an example of what we were supposed to be doing. Come on now. Sometimes people are called into the mission field when they know, hey, I'm going to a place where they'll probably kill me, maybe. And that's scary. That's what Paul did all the time. And he said, hey, I know I may die, but to die is my gain, because if I die, I'm going to heaven. That's my goal. Maybe not to die today, because I want to do as much for the Lord as I can. But I got to finish my race. I got to finish my course. I got to keep going. Led by the Spirit. No fear. No doubt. I mean, I'm sure there's a little fear. Nobody'd want to get beat up and put in prison. I'm sure of that. But come on. I want to end with this. I'm not long-winded. I've always said long-winded preaching kills people. You know that. Eutychus fell out the window and died, remember? Paul preached so long. I don't want to end with this, because this sums every bit of it up this morning. Every bit of it. If you look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now listen to this. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Listen to me this morning, folks. You, whoever, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit in Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit in it, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you the mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. You get the picture? Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. Remember this. But it is to live according, live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. I love this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Remember that. You do not live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with one Spirit. He speaks for us, right? He testifies for us. He speaks. He says, our spirit, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share His suffering in order that we may also share His glory. I can't say any more, folks. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning and you're living by the Spirit right there, it sums it all up right there. Amen. We are heirs to heaven. We are heirs to heaven. We have that to look forward to. And it doesn't matter what happens to our body. If we're living in the Spirit, it doesn't matter what happens because we got heaven. We're promised that. I wished everybody could understand, but the Bible clearly says it. Unless you're living in the Spirit, you don't understand. Right? I talk to people all the time, and it's just like talking to a blank wall. It just bounces off. And you think, you know, you plant that seed, that's all you can do. You just plant that seed and you hope that the Holy Spirit goes ahead and roots that seed in that person. And then that person can start to get their mind opened up. And when the mind's opened up, it's the only way they're going to know. But it's our job to plant the seeds. We're compelled by the Holy Spirit to walk in His ways, to live in His ways. Not in bitterness and slander and arguing and fighting about junk that can go on. It's not about that. It's about living in the ways of Jesus Christ and loving each other and forgiving each other. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. It reminds us, if your brother offends you, what do? You forgive him, right? And you keep forgiving him because that's what you do. Go on and on and on and on. I'm just telling you, if you don't know the Holy Spirit this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, Maybe you once did and you kind of fell away from it a little bit. I'm just saying right now, now's the time. Just give yourself to Him. You don't have to make a big production out of it. It's not about making a big show. It's just about accepting it. It's just about saying, Lord, I give myself to You this morning. No turning back. I want to live in Your ways. I want to walk in Your ways. I receive Your Spirit into my life. And if you do that, He will do it.